I'm Casey Seiler, editor of the Times Union. Before we start this week's episode of Nexium on Trial, I wanted to take a moment to note that the paper's investigative coverage of Keith Raniere and his organization was supported primarily by ART subscribers, whose readership paid the salaries of reporters, copy editors, and digital designers, as well as the lawyers who provided the good counsel that made our work bulletproof against this highly litigious group. If you subscribe to the Times Union, thanks. If you don't, please consider supporting our watchdog reporting. Without you, the truth might never come to light. All right, and now I'm talking to our outstanding Cops and Courts reporter, Rob Gavin, who has a bunch of news to report in the ongoing case of Nexium. Rob, we are talking on Tuesday, October 13th, which I'm no mathematician, but is exactly 2 weeks out from the sentencing of Keith Raniere. There has been some court action in the case of Claire Bronfman, who was about 2 weeks ago sentenced to more than 6 years in federal prison. She has now formally appealed that sentence, correct?
Yeah, she has announced that she is appealing that sentence, which is 6 years and 9 months, 81 months, if you want to do the math. That is expected. That'll go to the Second Circuit, for U.S. Court, for the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, where appeals are heard in the federal system here. And we'll see how that goes. But obviously, her lawyers feel that the sentencing was way beyond what they had expected.
We also know a little bit more about Keith Raniere's sentencing, which, as noted, is coming up on October 27th, including who is going to be there giving victim impact statements. You reported over the weekend that one of many people who are going to be there, either video or physically in the courthouse in Brooklyn to confront Raniere, will be a young woman who was 15 when she began a sexual relationship with the man known within Nexium as Vanguard.
This is a really big deal in the world of Nexium for anybody who's followed this case. The woman in question is 30 years old, and when she was 15, she was photographed in child pornography that Keith Raniere kept in his quote-unquote executive library. That was a townhouse in Knox Woods on Hale Drive, where Keith Raniere held court, so to speak, or that's one of the places where he operated from. And he had it there. It was recovered in a federal raid before his trial. And he had that. That's one of the acts within his racketeering conviction is possession of child pornography. And it is of that girl, who's now a woman. That's also the same girl who Keith Raniere had sex with when she was 15. And there's evidence at the trial that he actually told her in many, many text messages on the WhatsApp format that he, quote unquote, in September 2014 told her he was proud to have been your husband for 8.75 years, which, if you do the math, dates to when the girl was 15. There's also evidence that came from at the trial of a woman who worked at a clinic in Colony, an abortion clinic, in which the girl had told the clinic that she had the same partner for a long period of time, which dated back and was also showed that her and Raniere had been involved when she was under the age of 17. This woman is now 30. She's going to appear in court. And what's really significant about this is that she was sort of in a place that was unknown. Even people within Nexium weren't sure if she was still in Nexium and still within DOS, which is, of course, Keith Raniere's secret master slave group. She was the quote-unquote number one slave. This was a woman who was the youngest of three sisters who relocated from Mexico to the capital region. And they're all three of them are central to the Keith Raniere case. The youngest here is the woman who Raniere abused. And I say woman now because she's 30, but she was a 15-year-old at the time. The middle sister is, the woman who was confined to a room in a Wilton Court townhouse for up to nearly 2 years, all because she had the audacity to kiss another man, which really angered Ranieri. And the oldest sister is currently in a relationship with Keith Ranieri, and they have a child.
Was this young woman who began her relationship with Ranieri when she was 15, is she the subject of the photographs that were shown by federal prosecutors at the trial?
Yes, she is the subject of those photographs. She is the child pornography victim, as well as sexual exploitation of a child, which were both acts within the racketeering case. So when you hear people refer to Keith Ranieri as a sexual predator of children, that he's been called a pedophile, we've obviously reported over the years, you know, there's been women who say when they were younger that he had done those activities, but this is the woman who, when she was underage, he's convicted of actually sexually abusing.
I would point out that those stories, which were part of Secrets of NXIVM, which was a series that ran in the Times Union in 2012, when those revelations came out, local, state, and federal authorities back then didn't do jack squat to reach out to these women and perhaps take action. One imagines what would have happened if they had been a little bit more aggressive on that front. But I remember you describing that scene in the courthouse when those images were shown, that several members of the jury looked at Ranieri after they were, of course, obligated to look at these images. I remember you telling me that if looks could kill, they would have been sponging Ranieri off the back wall of the courthouse.
Definitely. It was a really disturbing part for people in the courtroom, including myself. I'm not someone who saw the images, but I saw the people who did look at the images. And at that point, we had heard a lot of evidence about Keith Ranieri, and this really showed to them what he had in his possession. And let's not forget, he was also the very last thing the prosecution played for the jury before they began their deliberations was that video where he is talking to members of DAS, talking about how children are quote unquote perfectly happy, unquote, some children anyway, having sex with adults in his view. And I think that was an intentional move by the feds to just show the depravity to which Keith Ranieri displayed both in his actual sayings and in his actions.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying NXIVM on Trial, be sure to check out its sister podcast, The Eagle. I'm Jessica Marshall, host of The Eagle. Each week, we'll take a look inside the newsroom at the Times Union, the Capital Region's oldest and largest newspaper. We'll discuss the week's top stories, and we'll talk to the award-winning reporters who write them. Listen at timesunion.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is India. I was in a cult for 7 years.
So, Rob, somebody else who will be at Ranieri's sentencing on October 27th is India Oxenberg, who has been a name that really entered the news, I think it's fair to say, after the fall 2017 New York Times report that revealed the existence of DOS. India Oxenberg had been a member of NXIVM for, I think about 7 years at that point, and had become, it was later revealed, a member of DAS. She is one of the women who was branded. She and her mother are taking part. She is, in fact, a co-producer of a new docu-series that is beginning on Starz, the cable channel, this Sunday.
When I was a child, I felt very loved, but I grew up looking for a more purposeful life. NXIVM was a program to make people's lives better.
I found a real deep sense of community.
I felt like I was in the right place.
So how did we all end up in the clutches of a monster?
You talked to both mother and daughter about this kind of, what can only be described as a nightmarish experience for anyone, but especially nightmarish experience for a parent to watch your child go through something like this.
Yeah, it really is extreme what this family had to endure.
India had been through 5 years of systematic indoctrination to the point where she accepted things that she wouldn't accept today, now that she's out of the bubble.
I think most people know Catherine Oxenberg now in the area for what she's gone through to have to deal with NXIVM to get her daughter out. And of course, she's the very well-known actress who in the 1980s was in the show Dynasty. And most people may know her from that and other things on the TV. But she's become very well-known because she really pushed the fight to to get her daughter out of NXIVM, which really led to many ways this case coming forward. But we haven't heard from India. I've met India in the past. I've talked to her in the past. She was at the trial during the closing arguments. This is now the first time India is really coming out to speak publicly. And it's in a big way, because like you said, she's an executive producer on this Stars thing. It's a 4-part series, and it's called Seduced, and it's from Cecilia Peck and Inbal Lesner. This is called Seduced Inside the NXIVM Cult, which is called the quote-unquote exclusive personal journey of India Oxenberg and her harrowing story of coercion, abuse, and recovery. And right from the get-go in the trailer, India Oxenberg says,
"My name is India. I was in a cult for 7 years."
And this series, which is going to start at 9 o'clock, that is right before the last episode of the year, at least, of The Vow on HBO, which has been a 9-part series about NXIVM. So if you're interested in NXIVM, that's going to be a nice 1-2 punch there on different networks. But this has been the first time that India opened up and really spoke about this experience. And she talked about a lot of things.
For a long time, I was being asked to do other media, and I was getting requests to speak and share my story, and I just was not ready. And I needed time and space and no noise to just think for myself for the first time and kind of process and heal what I had just gone through for 7 years.
She talked about how it was like to be in DOS, how it was like to live with Allison Mack, the actress who had been on Smallville and was such a big part of the case.
I never wanted to live in Albany. I was commanded to live in Albany from Allison Mack and Keith, who strategically placed me in Allison's house as a lure.
Allison Mack had been her quote-unquote master in DOS. Keith Raniere was her grandmaster atop DOS, which was the master slave club.
I mean, this is horrible to say about myself, but this is sort of what I was at the time. He wanted her to have a pet, like somebody to take care of her house, entertain her, be her servant. And I was looking for something in my life that could help me grow. And the way that they positioned this was that it was going to be intensive one-on-one coaching for women only.
We've heard, and I think we've seen on The Vow, and I think we've seen through testimony during the trial, that Allison Mack was someone who had many faces. You know, she was this person on a TV show, and people were, I guess, very happy to be around her. But we've also saw through the testimony of witnesses, and now we're hearing here, that she was someone who could be very volatile. And India lived in Allison's home in the Knox Woods complex.
There were some days where we were totally fine and it felt normal. And there were other days where she would just switch on a dime and be vicious and cruel to me and the other women. And it was unpredictable. And I think one of the more difficult things that I had to reconcile with is that I trusted this woman. I believed that she was my friend and that she cared for me. And the fact was, she lied to me the entire time.
Basically there, she said that, you know, they could be watching a movie even, but the entire time she'd be aware that at any moment that could change, that she was there to serve Allison Mack. We also talked about, among other things, what got her into NXIVM. Her and her mother had been recommended to take this personal growth class in Santa Monica, which is near where they lived. A mutual friend of her and her mother suggested it, thought that it would be a good thing, that this thing had changed that friend's life for the better.
I was 19 years old when I went to my first intro presentation, just leaving a year of university. And I was in a transition time in my life, and I was looking for something, and I wanted structure, and I wanted guidance, and I wanted to build the skills that I thought I needed to be successful. So I went into NXIVM's intro presentation with a very open mind and an open heart. I wasn't going in to criticize it. I was going in because I was curious. And this friend who I trusted told us that it was the thing that changed her life. So when you hear that, there's a natural curiosity. And so when I went to the presentation, I felt like they were speaking to me. I felt like everything they were saying that they could resolve were exactly the issues that I was having.
So she joins, she goes all in, and she said she was very taken with the program of NXIVM. She was very excited to be part of it, felt it helped her. And then as time goes on, 7 years goes in, she says that, you know, when reports came out about NXIVM, and this is something me and India spoke about, I asked her, I said, well, you know, there was a lot out there. We've written about a lot of things, other media outlets had. And she said that
we were told a justification for every single thing that you might fear or might react to. Like, oh, what about that article? Oh, well, that person has a personal vendetta against Keith and wants to destroy them. Oh, no, that person was hired by a legal team to discredit us. I mean, there was literally a bullshit story or answer for anything that anyone might dispute. And if you were on the inside, you would accept that. But from the outside, it's definitely a red flag.
So if you were going to try to question the leadership of this group, either NXIVM in general or DAS, she said that was not something that was welcomed. And she used the term in DAS to say that this was basically almost like a military dictatorship. She said it was a totalitarian dynamic. And if you question the leader, you were immediately punished. And that's something that came out during the trial for a lot of members of NXIVM. And I think, you know, it wasn't just one person or another. We heard stories across the board of someone doing something that seems not that big a deal. For instance, Lauren Salzman had sort of danced with a person during volleyball, is just sort of, you know, roughhoused as a joke. And as a result of that, Ranieri decided that his plan to have a baby with her was no longer going to happen. She lost her right to have a baby with him. And this is sort of the mental cruelty that was part of NXIVM. And India said this was also part of living with Allison Mack and being part of that entire DAS society. You know, we didn't mention this in my interview with her per se, but, you know, she was also a master within DAS, and the testimony was actually that among DAS masters, she was actually one of the nicer ones. Like, she wasn't as vindictive or vicious within it to that extent, but she says she understands that even Allison, the way she acted, she views her as a quote-unquote broken person by Ranieri, and she does view Allison as a victim.
I do consider her a victim of Keith Ranieri. I really do. I think she is a broken person because of him. But she's going to have to deal with and face the judgment that the judge gives to her. And there's nothing that I can do about that. And I don't need to. It's not my job. She needs to confront that herself.
And I think that's one of the things about this case that I think is hard for some people to understand. Where do you draw the line between a victim and a perpetrator? And that's something me and I spoke to with Catherine Oxenberg as well. You know, where do you draw the line in this case? Because you have someone like Allison Mack, who was clearly in DAS and clearly doling out punishment in DAS as a first-line master. That's one of the top eight members of DAS. But she was also victimized by Ranieri herself. So, you know, Catherine Oxenberg had an interesting take on that.
Allison Mack hurt my daughter. I'm a mama bear. I'm not gonna think kindly of this woman. Intellectually, I know she is also, everybody is a victim of Keith Ranieri. What predisposes somebody to follow somebody's orders blindly and kind of blossom from embodying a sadistic kind of stance as opposed to somebody who's more reluctant? And is that the line, the divide? You know, I don't know.
Catherine Oxenberg is also very happy that now her and India are back together. It was a very long time coming. It was that she wasn't sure what was going to happen if she couldn't get her daughter out of what now is viewed as a cult by many people. But one thing that she did say is that we've heard a lot from Catherine Oxenberg during this case. We're not going to hear from her at Ranieri's sentencing in 2 weeks.
I was thinking about maybe going to the sentencing the way that I made it to the conviction, sort of having my eye on the case, just not wanting to drop the ball until everything I knew was resolved. But I've made the decision that Keith Ranieri is not worth the plane ticket.
Catherine Oxenberg has been heard, though. Obviously, we've reported her and we've heard her talk before. What she did say is that at the recent sentencing of Claire Brofman, Catherine made mention of the fact that the judge had made a reference, Judge Nicholas Garalfus, the senior judge who presided over the case. He did make a reference during the sentencing of Claire Brofman that there was a mother who wrote to the judge about how her daughter, how they had tried to sue, you know, they tried to get a woman to sue her mother. And she talked about that. That was her. That was Catherine Oxenberg.
I think what's so devious about Keith Raniere, I mean, there's so much, is that he derives pleasure from causing other people pain. And I think some of the greatest pain you can cause people is the fracturing of family. And he prides himself on destroying those family bonds because he doesn't want anything to interfere with loyalty to him and his agenda.
I was under so much pressure from the higher ranking members of NXIVM while I was there to just diminish anything that my mom said, to discredit her, they told me she was a psychopath and that she was trying to hurt me. And this is my mother, the woman that raised me.
And this is something that, you know, another recurring theme that we've seen in NXIVM, people kind of turning family members against each other. Obviously, in the case of, you know, the family from Mexico with the three sisters, that was a case that continues to this day, because in that particular family, there are still people loyal to Raniere and some people who aren't. So I think it's a very interesting interview in that Catherine Oxenberg manages to be very open about everything that happened, and she's got a sense of humor as well.
And I hope he ends up in a supermax. I think it's, what is it, the prison in Colorado that's underground, where you actually don't have contact with the outside world, because it seems to me that as long as he has contact with anybody, he's going to try and exploit and abuse them. And he just needs to be taken out of circulation completely.
In many ways, people will say, and I think this has come out a lot, that one of the biggest motivations for Keith Raniere was sex. For someone who carried himself as such an intellectual and wanted to talk about ethics and nobility, at the bottom line of a lot of this is Keith Raniere looking to have sex with women and underage women and power and control. And I think India Oxenberg, what's really interesting is that there are members of DOS who are not speaking out. They don't want to be public about it. Even on the show The Vow, there was a woman who was in DOS who didn't want to be identified. Well, India Oxenberg is out speaking. She mentioned that she was outside of the first line of DOS, she told me she was the first person to be physically branded by Daniel Roberts.
I was the first one that Daniel Roberts practiced on. I mean, before me was just oranges. So I didn't really know what to expect. I just knew that we had to be branded because that's what we had signed up for. And we didn't have we couldn't say no. I mean, we couldn't say no without consequences or being reprimanded or punished. So when I heard it coming out in the news, I think I just felt shocked because a part of me believed that this information would never leave Clifton Park. So it just was like, what? How is this out there? I mean, we thought this was this private little bubble world that we were living in.
All right. Well, Rob, thank you very much. Really interesting. And thanks as well to the Oxenbergs for talking to us. Rob, 30 seconds on the most recent episode of The Vow, which kind of went deep into what might be called the bonds between Keith Raniere's rap on the empowerment of women and his more sub rosa efforts to subjugate them.
If you hadn't heard that Keith Raniere was an extreme misogynist, watch this episode, and I think that will give you every bit of information you need on just how misogynistic he could be.
All right. I think you did it in under 30. Thanks a lot. And thanks to everybody out there for listening. Please support local journalism. Subscribe if you can. And please check in next week for another episode of NXIVM on Trial.